and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Good evening. It's good to see this good number out again this evening. If you will, open your Bibles to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter. The book of James is unique in that it has no clear pattern for which it is written. There is no set organization to its pattern. For example, as we studied the first chapter, just in the first five verses, we covered temptation, faith, patience, and wisdom. Looking a little further into the chapter, we covered asking God for things. We covered lust, being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, doers of the word, and pure religion over the past few Sunday nights. Last Sunday night, we looked into the second chapter, the first nine verses, and we covered the fact that if we're to have the faith of God, we cannot have the respect for persons. And now, with all of those things in our mind, James throws us a ball tonight that's a hard ball to handle. You see, with all of those things that James covered, James knows how to hit at man where it hurts the most. James knows how to speak at the things that challenge us the most in being a Christian. And so after speaking with us about wisdom and about our tongue and about respect to persons and all these things we have mentioned, notice what he writes in James the second chapter in verse 10. He says in verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That hurts. Obey the whole, but yet guilty of one point. We're guilty of all. You see, we're not accustomed to that in this world. Almost anything in this world that we set out to do, even from a youth, is based on percentages. Even in school, 60, 65, or 70 is passing. You don't have to have them all right to pass. It's acceptable to miss a few. Teenagers, when they go to take their license examination, they're allowed to miss four or five. You don't have to pass them all to walk out with your license. We go and we vote. The majority rules. Sometimes it takes a two-thirds majority, but the majority rules. And now James speaks to us of all these laws in the first chapter and the second chapter. And then after giving us all these laws, he says, and God expects you to obey them all. And if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. You know, very oftentimes, we're more accustomed. Now, I'm not saying we voice it, but we're more accustomed to being a Christian as long as it's convenient. You see, I'm going to attend worship service three times a week as long as it's convenient. And when I see a neighbor in need, I'm always going to go out and I'm going to help that neighbor as long as it's convenient. And I'm going to study my Bible daily and I'm going to have a strong prayer life with God as long as it's convenient. And you see, when we study this, the second chapter, verse 10 of James, he takes out that part about convenience. And he says to keep the whole law and to not be guilty even in one point. Another thing that perhaps we struggle with in this is that old excuse that we oftentimes hear. And that is, well, I obey most of the time. You see, most of the time I'm faithful in attendance. Most of the time when someone asks me to teach a class, I'll teach it. Most of the time I study my Bible as I should. Most of the times I read the laws of God and I keep them. Most of the time. And again, we have to ask ourselves the question, what happened the rest of the time? And you say, oh, but that rest of the time is so slim. Most of the time I'm faithful. And James takes that wishes about most of the time being sufficient and he demolishes them. He wipes them aside and he says, if you're guilty in one, that we're guilty in all. James tonight gives us a lesson that's very hard to live in our Christian lives, but yet it's needful. It's one that we should look at and it should sober us. It should challenge us tonight beyond what we have ever been challenged. If tonight we have never said to ourselves, I'm going to give the Lord my very best in everything I do. If we've not said that, after studying these verses in James tonight, I hope we will say that. I hope we'll stop saying as long as it's convenient and we'll start saying as long as God says it. And instead of saying most of the time I'm going to obey, we'll say all of the time when God said it. Now, does that mean we're perfect? No. We may not be perfect. But our desire to serve is perfect. And our ambition and our goals, the sincerity of what we're doing is perfect. And those times that we fail, we don't just say, well, that's the rest of the time. We go back and we correct those times. And we ask God's forgiveness. And we pray for strength and we work in that area of weakness. James talks to us straight tonight. I would like to know the James that wrote this book. He must have been a man that did not beat around the bush. As we study these first and second chapter, we see some hard teachings, but yet some teachings that will make us the most faithful Christians we could ever be. How we need to strive to really believe the words, even in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew writes. Tonight, let me understand. I can serve God most of the time, but that rest of the time sets it aside where God says, I want all or I want none. So by looking at James and looking at Matthew, we must assume that we can't serve God and Satan. We're either serving God all of the time or we're serving Satan all of the time. In Luke, the 6th chapter, if you will turn with me there. Luke, the 6th chapter. In Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 46, a story that we sung about when we were little children, probably, and a story that will emphasize the point that James is making. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So the man that does the will of God is like this man in verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is likened to a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. We can hear, and we can do all of the time, and we're like the man that took the extra effort. He dug deep until he found a solid rock and he put his foundation on that solid rock. And the storms of life came, the temptations came that we studied about in James, the first chapter, and he stood strong. Or we can be like the man that he didn't want to invest his total self in God. He just wanted to obey God in convenient times. He just wanted to obey God most of the time. Instead of going to all the effort that God wanted and digging deep and finding a foundation that's built on the rock, he did not do that. And you know, his house stood for a little while. But then the storms of life came. Then the temptation came and that man's house fell. Tonight, your faith is symbolic of one of those two. You have either made the commitment to Christ this very night that I'm going to serve you in and out of season. I'm going to serve you, Lord, when it's convenient and when it's not. Lord, I'm going to serve you all of the time and there will be none of the time that I will give in. And it's that commitment that we have made to God. It's then we've built upon the rock. But anything less and we're in danger. How we need to guard against anything less. James, can you help us understand this a little better? Look to James, the 2nd chapter. James, give us an illustration. Verse 11. He illustrates his point. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So he says, let me break this down into simple terms. There's a law that says, do not commit adultery. There's another law that says, do not kill. James says, if you go out and you commit not adultery, but yet you kill, you still have transgressed the law. So James, you mean there's no place for almost? No. James, you mean there's no place for obeying most of the time? No. There's no place for convenience? No, James says. We're either guilty of all or we're either obeying all. But there's no place in between, James tells us. Look also to verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now verse 10 and 11 told us about a hard law. The law of obeying the law completely. Why is that so important? Brethren, let's be honest tonight. If it wasn't important, we wouldn't strive for it. We wouldn't live for it each day. We wouldn't pray about it each day. If it wasn't important, we wouldn't care. It has to be important for a reason. In verse 12, he introduces the reason why it's so important. He says there's coming a judgment day. A day that we all must be judged by the perfect law of liberty. Law of liberty. That's the law that sets men free. Now, it's that same law that when men disobey, they're damned. So it's the law of liberty for those that obey. Now, notice what he said. He said in verse 12, "So speak ye and so do." Now, how do you speak and how do you do? "As they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Tonight, perhaps the best way we could reword this, but yet keep the same context that James has written to us, is to say, how would you speak this night if you knew your judgment was tomorrow? How would you speak? If you knew your judgment was tomorrow, would you stop and visit someone on the way home tonight that's fallen away from the truth? If you knew your judgment was tomorrow, would you say something encouraging to those Christians around you tonight? If you knew your judgment was tomorrow, would you be willing to use your tongue to teach someone? How would we speak if we knew our judgment was tomorrow? And James says, so speak ye and do ye. Would you do or keep the law if you knew your judgment was tomorrow? You see, the fact is, our judgment may or may not be tomorrow. But what we do this very day, we will be judged by. You see, even if judgment is 100 years from now, every good and little deed that we do, we will be judged by. So James says, it's an important law. Keep all of the law. Don't be guilty of even straying in one area. Why, James? Because judgment day is coming. So do ye and say ye so that you'll be prepared for that judgment day. Also, let's look at verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against the judgment. So he's introduced the fact that there's a law that all should be kept. Then he introduced the fact that the reason we should keep the law is because there's a judgment. And now he goes more specifically into the judgment itself. There's two ways to face judgment day. That's all, two ways. With mercy or without mercy. Now to face judgment without mercy means, according to this verse, that we showed no mercy while we were upon this earth. Look with me, if you will, to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, we learn a very, very important lesson about mercy. It's important that we show mercy on earth because the only way to have mercy shown to us for a judgment is to show it on earth. Luke, the 10th chapter, we have what the story we oftentimes call the Good Samaritan. A lawyer asked Jesus about the second commandment and he says, "Jesus, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the second and greatest commandment, but who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answers and he says that there was a man that had been robbed, he'd been stripped, he'd been beaten, and he's laying on the side, and the priest and a Levite went by and they ignored him. And notice in verse 34, or verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn. And he took care of him, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee.'" Now notice the question here. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And notice what the lawyer's answer is. He said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise."
Jesus, what are you saying?
He says, this is the second and greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as yourself. Jesus, I don't understand what you mean by love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you show compassion to that man, and when you show compassion to your neighbor, you've been merciful to your neighbor. And he says to that lawyer, now go and do it. Be merciful. Why? Why is it so important to be merciful? Because on judgment day, without showing mercy on earth to our fellow man, we will have to face judgment without mercy. Brethren, whether you're ignorant of the fact tonight or not, and I doubt you are, but I know there's no one here that wants to face judgment without mercy. There's no one on the face of this earth, no matter how powerful, how rich, how intelligent, it doesn't matter, no one has ever lived that wants to face judgment without mercy. The only way to have mercy on judgment day, according to James 2:13, is to show mercy to our fellow man on this earth. I made the challenge back to you a few weeks ago, and I still hold it true tonight. Do something for someone that is not as well off as you before Thanksgiving. Do it. It'll make your Thanksgiving better. It'll make you more thankful for the things you have. It'll make their Thanksgiving better. And more important than all of that is you will have showed mercy to your fellow man. If you can't find someone in need, come to me. We'll find someone together. We'll go down and ask the sheriff. We'll do whatever it takes. But at least we'll be obeying the Scripture. Let's reach out and let's show mercy, because there's no one here tonight that wants to face judgment day without mercy. But there's another way to face judgment day. There's a way to face judgment day, and that is the latter part of verse 13. And that is to show mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. No wonder Jesus said it was blessed to be merciful. It's so blessed because we can be merciful on this earth, and then our reward is for an eternity. Jesus said that unless we confess His name upon earth, He will not confess our name before the Father. How we need to follow God. How we need to follow the example that Jesus gave to us. And that example that Jesus gave to us was that He was merciful to His fellow man. As we close this evening, I want us to look at the very last phrase in verse 13. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We face judgment with mercy and we rejoice. It's not a fear of facing judgment. We rejoice. We're happy that judgment's come because now we know that mercy can be shown to us as well. Tonight it's one of two ways, without mercy or with mercy, without rejoicing or with rejoicing. How do you face judgment if judgment was tonight? Let us all realize we're not standing here tonight saying that we're perfect. But we are standing reading from God's Word that says we should strive to be perfect. Yes, we'll fail. But we should not use that as our excuse to remain in our wrongs, to remain in our sins. Tonight I need to realize, yes, I will fall. But I need to live as if I will never fall, as if I have the ambition to be perfect. And it's with that, being humble as well, to realize that there will be times that I need to make wrongs right. Is tonight one of those times for you? Would you not be willing to face judgment tonight? Fearful that there would be no mercy shown to you because you've been guilty of one point and that makes you guilty of the law? Have you ever named the name of Christ and called upon Him as your Savior, obeying through being baptized in baptism to wash away the sins? If not, tonight's the time to rejoice and to look forward to judgment as we stand, as we sing.